flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 2:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I tell you, it's harder and harder. They're making it, these Apple people, they're making it harder and harder to have an Android. They really are. You know, I've got my Android phone. I'm an old lady. I don't like change. Everybody around me has Apple. So this morning when I'm at doors open and my kids are playing with the mayor's kids, I'm like, Lindsay, come over here and take a picture of this. And so Lindsay Rose comes over and she takes a picture and she texts them to me and they're all fuzzy. And it reminds me that whenever I ask my son Andrew, who also has an Apple, to send pictures, texts, they're fuzzy. Same with Marsha Carter. Everybody I know has an Apple iPhone. I'm the only one in my circle with an Android. So whenever they send me pictures, they're fuzzy. Then I have to ask them to either send them to me and on social media, either Facebook or Twitter, put them in my DMs or email me. It's always an extra step. They're trying to force me to learn something new. I'm sorry. Sorry. Not going to do it. I'm an old lady. No, sometimes you just can't teach the dog new tricks. I'm only doing old tricks today. I'm an old dog. I'm doing old tricks. I'm trying to hold on to my Android, and I'm trying to put these pictures on social so y'all can see my kids, because we've been talking about the kids. And I got to wait for the email to come through because all the photos are fuzzy. One thing that I don't want you to be fuzzy about is some resources and services that are available in our community. You know, one thing that I love about this show is folks who listen know that there's always a information or a call to action or resources or services that are available to help you and your family live better lives. The worst thing for me is reading about something in the paper or hearing about something and a deadline has passed, or you didn't know when you had already bought the stuff, or you already paid for something to happen when there was free resources or funding available. And so one of the things that I found out about that I'm trying to talk about as much as I can is this lead paint in older homes, because it's serious. The dust is created by the chipping lead paint. And I don't know about y'all, but I grew up in a house where we would wipe the windows. We used to wash windows and it'd just be full of dust and chips and stuff at my grandmother's house. Cause that was lead paint. Who knew? And it causes issues with young children and pregnant women. But here in Minnesota, and we talk about, you know, with Allie just a few moments ago about all the resources and services that we have available in Minnesota that they don't have other places. And we are fortunate in Minnesota to have the Sustainable Resource Center. It's an organization dedicated to creating and maintaining healthy homes. And they work closely with Hennepin County in the lead removal program to deal with this problem. So joining me now on the phone is Justine Bowman, the community health educator specializing in lead hazard prevention and healthy homes advocacy with the Sustainable Resource Center in Minneapolis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Shaletta. I love your passion. Thank you so much for having me on.
Girl, I hate for people to miss out on anything. You know, I hate for people to not know about stuff. And so that's why I always have, you know, county folks and organizations and anybody that I can have on to talk about, you know, stuff that's going to help folks, help their family live better, healthier lives. Now, for our listeners who may not know much about the Sustainable Resources Center, because I just found out about it, I want you to talk to us about the SRC.
Absolutely. So Sustainable Resources Center, we're located right in Southeast Minneapolis. We're a local nonprofit that creates healthy and energy efficient home environments. And we're in partnership with families and other community members as well. Our vision is that all families live in a house that is safe, energy efficient, has clean indoor air, free of mold and toxins, pests and excess moisture. Our weatherization, energy conservation, lead hazard removal, and healthy homes education staff, we really do work towards our mission and vision at little to no cost to our clients through grants through the counties.
And the beautiful thing about it is it's easy to navigate. I want to make sure folks have the website, because somebody was just like, okay, I've never heard of this, but this sounds like something I need to be taking advantage of. Give us your website and how folks can reach you.
It's www.src-mn.org. That's the first way to reach us. Fill out the intake form, and we will reach back out to you.
Now, I want to talk about lead poisoning, because it's a real issue in our community. So if you live in an older home and think you may have lead paint, what are some of the prevention measures that you can take today, like right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have 5 takeaway messages. First, we want to stay away from that peeling paint. So don't let children touch or play around chipping or deteriorated paint, especially in these pre-1978 homes.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving your shoes at the door is the second one. Lead can be found in the soil, so don't let your children play in the bare soil. Just taking your shoes off at the door before entering the house really does help avoid lead-contaminated soil from entering your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, we would say keep your home dust-free. Like you were talking about before, just opening and closing those windows creates that dust.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure you're washing those window wells, those window sills, those floors to remove those lead dust hazards. Those summer months especially, we're opening and closing those windows. So it creates that friction from opening and closing those wood windows, which creates that dangerous lead dust level.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, a fourth message we want to take away is washing your hands before you're eating or playing outside especially. You're in contact with these lead-dusted windows and the dirt outside. You want to make sure you're washing your hands. And then the fifth message we would say is to eat foods that are rich in calcium, iron, and vitamin C. Nutrition really is the key element in lead poisoning prevention. So children who are getting enough calcium, iron, and vitamin C are less likely to absorb the lead, actually.
Oh,
so those are 5 great keyword messages. Yeah.
Girl. And, you know, it is so funny because, you know, you don't think about it. Lead is in the soil. Take your shoes off.
Yeah.
When you come in somebody's house, put them by the door, especially if you've got babies crawling around on the floor.
Yes, that hand-to-mouth activity of babies crawling around the floor. You want to make sure those shoes are off at the door, and make sure you have a track mat as well to wipe off your shoes.
Now, you got to explain to me how the SRC works with the Hennepin County Lead Removal Program. What's your role in this?
Yeah, so we do home testing. So the first thing you want to do is to get your home tested if you think you do have these lead hazard concerns. So if you live in a home that was built before 1978 and there's chipping and peeling paint on the windows, call us to schedule a free in-home visit. And our number is 612 870-4255. And then you would just fill out that intake form at our website, www.src-mn.org. Once we do that initial in-home visit, we'll get you in contact with Hennepin County's programs. We'll look for any home hazards in the house, the lead paint, mold or moisture, and then we fill out the application with you. And if you qualify, there is a $15,000 grant through Hennepin County actually to help remove these lead-based paint hazards.
Now, we have been talking to Justine Bowman with the community health educator over at the SRC. And I know it's a beautiful Saturday, and I know you got stuff to do, but I want you to stick around with me after this commercial break, Justine, because we've been talking about testing the homes, but what about the kids? You know, if you think your children have been exposed to lead or lead paint, and you think they may have it in the system, you all have something coming up. And I want to make sure parents know about it, because if they think that this has impacted their children, you have something that they can do to have some peace of mind about it, to find out yay or nay. We'll tell you all about that when we come back. I want to make sure you hear it here. When there's information that's going to help your family, resources, grants, funding, services, right here on the Shaletta Show. That's why we're talking about that $15,000 grant that Hennepin County has. If you live in an older home, you see chipping on the window, that may be lead paint. They can send somebody in there. They can test that and find out if it's lead. And they have a grant. And when I found out about this, I was like, I'm going to make sure I let everybody I know. They will even put you up in a hotel while the work is being done. And you don't have to pay for that. You know, folks are buying new windows, spending their own money. And there's something, if you live in Hennepin County, you do not have to do that. And I want to make sure, especially for my folks on the north side who are living in older homes, who are seeing that chipping as you wipe your windows, that may be lead. Get it tested. Call. Find out if it is. They have a grant. You can qualify for that. Get $15,000 worth of windows, right? Get that window out of there. Get a new window. Get it repainted. And then they will put you up in a hotel, right? But then I found out about the program that Justine Bowman has. She's a community health educator with Sustainable Resources Center. She's continuing her conversation with us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Because Justine, okay, so I found out about the lead and the paint and what to do in the house. But what if you think your child has been exposed at the daycare or at the grandmother's house or at an older auntie's house because they've been playing and you see this chip and you're like, has my baby been eating this stuff? Has my baby been crawling around on the floor playing and making little designs with the chip paint? Have they been exposed to lead? And you have an opportunity for folks to go and get tested to find out if they have or their children have actually been exposed to lead.
Absolutely. So the number one thing you want to do if you notice your child is around lead paint or you're concerned is to get your child tested. So Sustainable Resources Center, we actually offer free lead testing for children that are 5 and younger and for pregnant and nursing mothers as well. And it's just a simple finger poke, and then we get those results in 3 minutes right there on site. We have plenty of summer events coming up in the community. We have a community flyer. And if anyone would like to attend one of our community events or like a presentation at their agency, please reach out to us. We have a group of great community health educators ready to help.
Okay, so now I know about the one on May 29th at Anoka City Hall. There's another one on May 30th at the Indian Month Celebration at Minnehaha Avenue. But there are a couple of other. Where are the other ones? Because I want to make sure if somebody is going to one of these festivals or events that they make sure they come and visit your booth, because you can test for lead right there. It's a quick finger poke. It's not going to mess up your day or upset your children too much, and you can tell within minutes, and that kind of peace of mind is invaluable.
Yeah, we have another few events coming up in June, on June 1st, in conjunction with the Me and My Baby event at Kicksfield. And then we also have one on June 7th at the Pillsbury Community Festival.
Okay, now, if somebody was driving and they didn't get to write that down, where can they find this list of activities?
You can go to our website, www.src-mn.org.
Girl, I cannot thank you enough for coming on this show.
Thank you so much.
And also for doing the work you do in community. You know, being out at these events, being on this show, going to these festivals, providing this information, testing these children and these pregnant women, is really doing a great service to our community. And I just need to say thank you. Cause girl, look, when I go to a festival, I want to have fun. Okay. I want to go be, working. I want to go have a good time. And you are going to these festivals where you know folks are going to be, but just making sure that, people who believe they have been exposed, can get tested. And not only that, to create awareness, because when people see you, they're going to be like, what y'all doing here? And what do you do? And it just gets us all to thinking, about whether or not our kids have been exposed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
All right, girl. Well, you make sure that you stay connected with me, because I want you to come back, this summer on the show. I want you to one of these dates has got to be on a Saturday when I'm doing a show, and I want you to come on. I want you to come on so that we can let folks know where you are. So as we're chatting, they can get out there. I may even see if Josh will work with me and I can come out there and do a show live or something, because this is very important.
This is so important to
make sure that folks are aware.
Yes, come check out our mobile Letty Eddie testing unit.
Girl, that Letty Eddie testing unit is just too cute. I saw some pictures on the website. I was like, okay, first of all, my kids going to want to get all their fingers poked, because this is just like the hot spot to be.
Yeah, we got prizes. Kids love it, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your Saturday. I appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you. Of course. Have a great day, Shaletta.
All right. And honey, when we come back, that is an amazing teacher who is using comic books to educate our kids. Who is she? I'll tell you all about her next. I tell you what, she is Black Girl Magic, a St. Paul educator who has found the secret to unlocking the superpowers of our kids in the classroom. Her birth certificate says Mercedes Yarbrough, but the kids know her as Miss Mercedes. She creates comics about Black entrepreneurships and so many other topics. And she teaches her students using magic glasses that can help them picture a better world. Oh, I just love everything about this woman. And I don't know why she hasn't been on my show today, but we're going to fix that because she is here right now. Miss Mercedes is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Miss Mercedes, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, Miss Shaletta, how are you?
Girl, I am so good. And girl, I don't know how this oversight happened. I don't know how you have not been on this show before now, because you are doing some amazing work with re-envisioning education in the classroom using these comic books. How did you come up with this whole concept?
Oh, I appreciate the love. It really just came from working in the public education system. Like, it's so outdated, it's boring, it doesn't work. And I was the behavior intervention specialist. So all the kids that didn't want to be there came to me. And I learned how to teach working at Freedom School for every summer for 8 years as a servant leader intern. And I always loved art. So that was my way of connecting with the kids. And I always had to innovate and make learning fun for them to stay engaged. And I realized, like, I'm your kid's favorite teacher. And that's why I go by the name Ms. Mercedes, a.k.a. your kid's favorite teacher, because I make learning fun. And I always tell people, to me, love means safe. And right now, a lot of our schools aren't safe because no love is being shown. And it's the person who is showing your kids love that is their teacher. And a lot of times, that's the support staff. For me, it was the intervention specialist, the security guard, the cafeteria worker. So it's not necessarily the teacher with the teacher's license that is teaching the kids. And that's one reason why I say your kid's favorite teacher without being an actual licensed teacher.
And, you know, the thing that I love the most is how you have used these comics and come up with these concepts. And the kids are gravitating toward that. When you first brought those comics in, you didn't know how they would receive them.
No. One thing, I pay attention, so I listen. And they always say great leaders listen. And I never see myself as a leader until recently when people started, like, coming to me for guidance. But what I've noticed is the kids, they love graphic novels and anime. So yes. I was like, okay, they don't want to pick up this book to read. So I was like, let me find a way to get them to pick up a book using imagery, but then also giving them the information they need to know.
And, you know, I talk about this all the time with folks who have kids in school. I said, you know, everything in our lives, in our world has changed. You know, banking has changed. The way we work has changed. But we're still using the same model that they used 100 years ago. Sit in this desk, don't move, look at this board, engage with this teacher, answer the questions. You know, and we expect these kids to want to do that every day for however many 100 days they're in class. Really?
8 hours a day.
And you have just come through the door and given these kids something new. Is it like a breath of fresh air for them to be able to engage with you in these comics that you've come up with?
Yes. So I'm glad that you brought up 100 years, because I recently learned that John D. Rockefeller funded the general public education system in 1902. And he made a statement saying, I do not want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. So if you look at the public education system and why it's still failing, it has not innovated. It's not creating thinkers. And we're seeing that today as there's a problem with the education system. Mm-hmm. And I was being a thinker. I brought this. I worked in St. Paul Public Schools. I was like, hey, this is working. Let's use this. And crickets. So that inspired me to leave the education world and try to disrupt it by partnering and doing my own, just leaving and doing my own thing so I can do it my way. Because working in the public education system, it's very systematic, and they don't want things like this because it is inspiring thinkers, which I like to call broken robots, which is linked to my next project.
Okay. And you got to tell us what that next project is, because you know I'm nosy.
So Broken Robots is to inspire this generation and to teach them how to balance the use of technology. Right now we're in a spiritual warfare with the evolution of technology, and it's very dangerous, and our kids are not being taught how to use it properly. And we're seeing the effects of technology, how it's doing everything for us. So it's weakening our mind, because our mind is the most powerful thing in our body. So if we're not using our mind, we're opening the door to, we're seeing a rise in mental illness, depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, and I believe it's linked to technology because we're not using our mind enough. I had one of my other comics is called Going Back to Rondo, which is about the Rondo neighborhood, which I'm from. And I had to interview a lot of elders who were 80, 90 plus years old. And I was inspired by them because the stories they shared. They're 90 years old, tell me a story about when they were 11 or 10, and they remembered phone numbers, addresses. They remembered everything, and I was just very intrigued. And that's when it clicked to me, like, they grew up in an era when technology was not as a necessity as it is today. And it made them very strong-minded. But look at how old they are, too. Like, they're able to age. Our generation is dying younger and is very weak-minded, which is leading to suicides and just mental illness and anxiety. And I believe it's because we're on technology way too much.
Okay, now you got to tell me about an event that's happening today.
Oh, yeah. So because of Going Back to Rondo, I'm on my way there to the Rondo Library to receive an award through Dr. Artika Tyner's publishing, Planting Justice. Her organization. I just won an award for the Black History for Going Back to Rondo.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that is so awesome. Dr. Artika Tyner is an amazing woman. And so that is at the Rondo Library today. And folks are going to be getting out there, and there's going to be hundreds of free books for folks. There's a reading. Dr. Tyner is reading Justice Makes a Difference. And there's kids activities. And, you know, so many people are going to be out there. So if you're looking for something fun for your kids to do, it's going to be at the Rondo Library, 560 Rondo Avenue, which is also Concordia Avenue. And interpreters are going to be there in Spanish, Hmong, Somali, and Karen. Congratulations on your award, Miss Lady.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm just happy people are seeing, because I put a lot of time and effort in this project, which is actually a trilogy series. So the second sequel is coming out, Rondo Days, which is coming back this summer. So the weekend of Rondo Days, you guys can get the second copy, which is Rondo Days, because this is a timeline. So the first one is from 1848 to 1956, and Rondo Days is going to be 1956 to 1983, which was the first year of the Rondo Day celebration.
Oh, well, congratulations on everything, and thank you so much for being here. Now, listen, y'all don't go anywhere, because my friend Steve Thompson is coming up next. He has got to predict for me what is going to happen in this game with our Timberwolves. The bandwagon folks are jumping on, then they jump off, then they jump back on again. There is no room on this bandwagon. There's no room for the real diehard fans, because this thing is getting serious, and we are down to the wire. Steve Thompson. His prediction up next. Ow, that's how we're screaming at the TV trying to watch this Timberwolves series against them Denver Nuggets. I my blood pressure medicine. I have put it away, Steve. I didn't need it. We didn't have any problems. We had a pretty good season. I told my doctor, I said, I don't need to take the little purple pill anymore. I'm good. Why am I taking a purple pill again, Steve?
Just because this series has been so unusual, where every game has been a blowout. And that's what makes it. There really hasn't been a nail biter. The Timberwolves went into Denver and blew out the defending champ Nuggets. And the Timberwolves at that point in time had won six games in a row in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They were much better than the Phoenix Suns. And There was a great deal of confidence, and then a funny thing happened. Denver turned the tables and absolutely demolished the Timberwolves in two straight games at Target Center. And I feel bad for the people that spent the big money to go to those games and were all excited, because they were over early. I mean, there was no drama whatsoever in any of those games. And then the series shifted back to Denver, and the Nuggets won very comfortably again at home. So they're up 3-2. And then the Timberwolves, whatever cliche you want to use, backs against the wall, do or die, etc., they responded and beat the Denver Nuggets by 45 points at home. Another absolute blowout in this series. So now we go to Game 7, and I don't think anybody has any idea what's going to happen. Maybe we will get a good game, and maybe we will get a nail-biter that goes down to the final minute, but I just don't know. It has just been very unusual in the fact that every game, all six games, have been blowouts for one team or the other.
How is that? I mean, they've played a series of games, Steve, so that means that they ought to know each other. They ought to know who they need to watch out for, you know, the patterns and that kind of thing, schemes and looking at film and tape. Sure. And, you know, and it seems like it wouldn't be so back and forth like that with these blowouts. That's the part that's messing me up, that they haven't figured each other out yet in all the games they play.
Yeah, it is very unusual in that respect, because there's so many great players in this series. You've got the MVP in Nikola Jokic, and he's the best player in the world. I don't know. At this moment in time, he's the best player in the world. But then you have a superstar, a young superstar in Anthony Edwards, and a lot of other great players in this series. I just think it comes down to, in reality, the hot shooting team. And the Timberwolves were just great defensively in the first two games, shot the ball very well. And then Denver played beautifully in those two games at Target Center. They looked like the world champs. And I felt like they were the better team again in Game 5. And then the Timberwolves come back and just played the game of the year in that 45-point win. Denver had no chance in that game. But in reality, the Timberwolves had to win to stay alive. And Denver knew, hey, if we don't get it done tonight, we go back home for Game 7. So I think on some psychological level, that's a factor. I still point to one thing. They still have the MVP. And, you know, can the Timberwolves get enough scoring around Anthony Edwards? We know what he can do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is Karl Anthony Towns, is Jaden McDaniels, is Mike Conley, is Rudy Gobert going to step up and help Ant? And it's certainly a big game. I really don't know. And that's what's so great about Game 7. Anything can happen. Timberwolves get hot, play great defensively. They move on. They go to the conference finals. If not, season over, Denver moves on, and then it turns into, how do you assess this Timberwolves season? It was a very good regular season. Third seed in the Western Conference. They blew out the Suns in round one. I would say you'd be happy with the season, but a win tomorrow night in Denver is a big, big deal, because then, you know, you got to win four more to get to the finals. And then you get to the finals, you win four more, you're the champ. So
yes.
Goes without saying, huge game tomorrow night.
All right. I don't know if you want to make a prediction on my show, if you want to save it for your show. I hope they win. But they're away from home. I mean, as many people as I know who are going, who are going to be there, who have gotten tickets, who have taken vacation time, it's nothing like being at home. But then, Steve, when they were at home, they couldn't get it done. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it gets back to that thought. I just have no idea, because the games have been such blowouts in favor of either Denver or Minnesota in this series. But Minnesota has confidence there. They played two great games early in this series and caught the champs flat-footed, blew them off their home floor, and then you got to give them credit. They are the champions, and they responded in a big way and really made the Timberwolves look bad at home in games 3 and 4. Then they went home, won game 5. Timberwolves came back and just absolutely demolished them.
Now, were you expecting that?
Yeah,
Were you expecting them to win?
I thought the Timberwolves had a good chance to win Game 6 because it was kind of that do-or-die moment, and they were at home, and Denver always had the fallback. If I was going to gamble, and I don't gamble on sports as a rule, if I was going to lay down my own money, I would take Denver. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if the Timberwolves pull the upset and win in a Game 7. If they play like they did in the first two games or like they did in Game 6, if they can bring that intensity and shot-making in that Game 7, they can get it done. But remember, they have the best player in the world, and he, you know, give him credit. He's a hell of a player. I mean, it's pretty incredible. The touch he has as a big man. The skill, he can bring it up the floor, he can shoot the three. He's a great playmaker. You know, as a big guy, he's pretty skilled. He's really good.
What are we going to have to do to win? What do we need to do to win?
I think they're going to need they're going to need Cat to have a big game, and then they're going to need another guy to have a big, you know, McDaniels to have a big game. We know what Ant's going to do, and Ant's going to come to play and have a big game. But I think you're going to need a lights-out performance from a second or a third guy. You're going to get what you're going to get out of the veterans like Gobert and Mike Conley. But it's going to be the key to me is Cat. If Cat has a big night and shows up and plays four quarters and really contributes, Timberwolves have a good chance.
All right. Now, you got to tell me this. How was your wife's Mother's Day? What y'all do? Because we haven't talked. And you always make sure that Michelle is loved and the girls. And, you know, she's such a great mom. I just want to know how y'all spoiled her.
Yeah. Well, what we did is we traveled to visit her mom last weekend. I wasn't around, as you knew. And I was supposed to visit with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we were still on the road. And so we visited her mom last weekend. Got home Sunday night. And then my daughters took her out today.
Really?
Which was nice. So that was good. But yeah, it worked out well. So we visited her mom, and that was a good thing.
Okay, now what you got coming up on your show?
Well, we're going to do a lot of sports stuff. Chris Hine covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune. We're going to do that following the news and weather, and then we're going to get you ready for the Twins and the Guardians from Cleveland. Our lineup card begins at 4:30 today, so I have an abbreviated show.
All right. Well, y'all stick around. Steve's coming up next. Love you, Steve. Have a great show.
See ya.
All right. And, hey, I appreciate y'all for hanging out and spending time with your girl. Have an amazing Saturday. Keep Steve on and make sure you stick around to listen to those Twins.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 2:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I tell you, it's harder and harder. They're making it, these Apple people, they're making it harder and harder to have an Android. They really are. You know, I've got my Android phone. I'm an old lady. I don't like change. Everybody around me has Apple. So this morning when I'm at doors open and my kids are playing with the mayor's kids, I'm like, Lindsay, come over here and take a picture of this. And so Lindsay Rose comes over and she takes a picture and she texts them to me and they're all fuzzy. And it reminds me that whenever I ask my son Andrew, who also has an Apple, to send pictures, texts, they're fuzzy. Same with Marsha Carter. Everybody I know has an Apple iPhone. I'm the only one in my circle with an Android. So whenever they send me pictures, they're fuzzy. Then I have to ask them to either send them to me and on social media, either Facebook or Twitter, put them in my DMs or email me. It's always an extra step. They're trying to force me to learn something new. I'm sorry. Sorry. Not going to do it. I'm an old lady. No, sometimes you just can't teach the dog new tricks. I'm only doing old tricks today. I'm an old dog. I'm doing old tricks. I'm trying to hold on to my Android, and I'm trying to put these pictures on social so y'all can see my kids, because we've been talking about the kids. And I got to wait for the email to come through because all the photos are fuzzy. One thing that I don't want you to be fuzzy about is some resources and services that are available in our community. You know, one thing that I love about this show is folks who listen know that there's always a information or a call to action, or resources or services that are available to help you and your family live better lives. The worst thing for me is reading about something in the paper or hearing about something and a deadline has passed, or you didn't know when you had already bought the stuff or you already paid for something to happen when there was free resources or funding available. And so one of the things that I found out about that I'm trying to talk about as much as I can is this lead paint in older homes, because it's serious. The dust is created by the chipping lead paint. And I don't know about y'all, but I grew up in a house where we would wipe the windows. We used to wash windows and it'd just be full of dust and chips and stuff at my grandmother's house. Cause that was lead paint. Who knew? And it causes issues with young children and pregnant women. But here in Minnesota, and we talk about, you know, with Allie just a few moments ago about all the resources and services that we have available in Minnesota that they don't have other places. And we are fortunate in Minnesota to have the Sustainable Resource Center. It's an organization dedicated to creating and maintaining healthy homes. And they work closely with Hennepin County in the lead removal program to deal with this problem. So joining me now on the phone is Justine Bowman, the community health educator specializing in lead hazard prevention and healthy homes advocacy with the Sustainable Resource Center in Minneapolis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Shaletta. I love your passion. Thank you so much for having me on.
Girl, I hate for people to miss out on anything. You know, I hate for people to not know about stuff. And so that's why I always have, you know, county folks and organizations and anybody that I can have on to talk about, you know, stuff that's going to help folks, help their family live better, healthier lives. Now, for our listeners who may not know much about the Sustainable Resources Center, because I just found out about it, I want you to talk to us about the SRC.
Absolutely. So Sustainable Resources Center, we're located right in Southeast Minneapolis. We're a local nonprofit that creates healthy and energy efficient home environments. And we're in partnership with families and other community members as well. Our vision is that all families live in a house that is safe, energy efficient, has clean indoor air, free of mold and toxins, pests, and excess moisture. Our weatherization, energy conservation, lead hazard removal, and healthy homes education staff, we really do work towards our mission and vision at little to no cost to our clients through grants through the counties.
And the beautiful thing about it is it's easy to navigate. I want to make sure folks have the website, because somebody was just like, okay, I've never heard of this, but this sounds like something I need to be taking advantage of. Give us your website and how folks can reach you.
It's www.src-mn.org. That's the first way to reach us. Fill out the intake form and we will reach back out to you.
Now, I want to talk about lead poisoning because it's a real issue in our community. So if you live in an older home and think you may have lead paint, what are some of the prevention measures that you can take today, like right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have 5 takeaway messages. First, we want to stay away from that peeling paint. So don't let children touch or play around chipping or deteriorated paint, especially in these pre-1978 homes.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving your shoes at the door is the second one. Lead can be found in the soil, so don't let your children play in the bare soil. Just taking your shoes off at the door before entering the house really does help avoid lead-contaminated soil from entering your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, we would say keep your home dust-free. Like you were talking about before, just opening and closing those windows creates that dust.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure you're washing those window wells, those window sills, those floors to remove those lead dust hazards. Those summer months especially, we're opening and closing those windows. So it creates that friction from opening and closing those wood windows, which creates that dangerous lead dust level.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, a fourth message we want to take away is washing your hands before you're eating or playing outside especially. You're in contact with these lead-dusted windows and the dirt outside. You want to make sure you're washing your hands. And then the fifth message we would say is to eat foods that are rich in calcium, iron, and vitamin C. Nutrition really is the key element in lead poisoning prevention. So children who are getting enough calcium, iron, and vitamin C are less likely to absorb the lead, actually.
Oh.
So those are five great keyword messages. Yeah. Girl.
And, you know, it is so funny because, you know, you don't think about it. Lead is in the soil. Take your shoes off.
Yeah.
When you come in somebody's house, put them by the door, especially if you've got babies crawling around on the floor.
Yes, that hand-to-mouth activity of babies crawling around the floor. You want to make sure those shoes are off at the door, and make sure you have a track mat as well to wipe off your shoes.
Now, you got to explain to me how the SRC works with the Hennepin County Lead Removal Program. What's your role in this?
Yeah, so we do home testing. So the first thing you want to do is to get your home tested if you think you do have these lead hazard concerns. So if you live in a home that was built before 1978 and there's chipping and peeling paint on the windows, call us to schedule a free in-home visit. And our number is 612-870-4255. And then you would just fill out that intake form at our website, www.src-mn.org. Once we do that initial in-home visit, we'll get you in contact with Hennepin County's program. So we'll look for any home hazards in the house, the lead paint, mold or moisture, and then we fill out the application with you. And if you qualify, there is a $15,000 grant through Hennepin County actually to help remove these lead-based paint hazards.
Now, we have been talking to Justine Bowman with the community health educator over at the SRC. And I know it's a beautiful Saturday and I know you got stuff to do, but I want you to stick around with me after this commercial break, Justine, because we've been talking about testing the homes. But what about the kids? You know, if you think your children have been exposed to lead or lead paint, and you think they may have it in the system, you all have something coming up. And I want to make sure parents know about it, because if they think that this has impacted their children, you have something that they can do to have some peace of mind about it, to find out yay or nay. We'll tell you all about that when we come back. I want to make sure you hear it here. When there's information that's going to help your family, resources, grants, funding, services, right here on the Shaletta Show. That's why we're talking about that $15,000 grant that Hennepin County has. If you live in an older home, you see chipping on the window, that may be lead paint. They can send somebody in there. They can test that and find out if it's lead. And they have a grant. And when I found out about this, I was like, I'm going to make sure I let everybody I know. They will even put you up in a hotel while the work is being done. And you don't have to pay for that. You know, folks are buying new windows, spending their own money. And there's something, if you live in Hennepin County, you do not have to do that. And I want to make sure, especially for my folks on the north side who are living in older homes, who are seeing that chipping as you wipe your windows, that may be lead. Get it tested. Call. Find out if it is. They have a grant. You can qualify for that. Get $15,000 worth of windows, right? Get that window out of there. Get a new window. Get it repainted. And then they will put you up in a hotel, right? But then I found out about the program that Justine Bowman has. She's a community health educator with Sustainable Resources Center. She's continuing her conversation with us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Because Justine, okay, so I found out about the lead and the paint and what to do in the house. But what if you think your child has been exposed at the daycare or at the grandmother's house or at an older auntie's house because they've been playing and you see this chipping and you're like, has my baby been eating this stuff? Has my baby been crawling around on the floor playing and making little designs with the chip paint? Have they been exposed to lead? And you have an opportunity for folks to go and get tested to find out if they have or their children have actually been exposed to lead.
Absolutely. So the number one thing you want to do if you notice your child is around lead paint or you're concerned is to get your child tested. So Sustainable Resources Center, we actually offer free lead testing for children that are five and younger and for pregnant and nursing mothers as well. And so just a simple finger poke, and then we get that those results in 3 minutes right there on site. We have plenty of summer events coming up in the community. We have a community flyer. And if anyone would like to attend one of our community events or like a presentation at their agency, please reach out to us. We have a group of great community health educators ready to help.
Okay, so now I know about the one on May 29th at Anoka City Hall. There's another one on May 30th at the Indian Month Celebration at Minnehaha Avenue. But there are a couple of other. Where are the other ones? Because I want to make sure if somebody is going to one of these festivals or events that they make sure they come and visit your booth, because you can test for lead right there. It's a quick finger poke. It's not going to mess up your day or upset your children too much, and you can tell within minutes, and that kind of peace of mind is invaluable.
Yeah, we have another few events coming up in June. On June 1st, in conjunction with the Me and My Baby event at Kicksfield, and then we also have one on June 7th at the Pillsbury Community Festival.
Okay, now, if somebody was driving and they didn't get to write that down, where can they find this list of activities?
You can go to our website, www.src-mn.org.
Girl, I cannot thank you enough for coming on this show.
Thank you so much.
And also for doing the work you do in community. You know, being out at these events, being on this show, going to these festivals, providing this information, testing these children and these pregnant women. Is really doing a great service to our community. And I just need to say thank you. Cause girl, look, when I go to a festival, I want to have fun. Okay. I want to go be, working. I want to go have a good time. And you are going to these festivals where you know folks are going to be, but just making sure that, people who believe they have been exposed, can get tested. And not only that, to create awareness, because when people see you, they're going to be like, what y'all doing here? And what do you do? And it just gets us all to thinking, about whether or not our kids have been exposed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
All right, girl. Well, you make sure that you stay connected with me, because I want you to come back, this summer on the show. I want you to one of these dates has got to be on a Saturday when I'm doing a show, and I want you to come on. I want you to come on so that we can let folks know where you are. So as we're chatting, they can get out there. I may even see if Josh will work with me and I can come out there and do a show live or something, because this is very important.
This is so important to
make sure that folks are aware.
Yes, come check out our mobile Leddy Eddy testing unit.
Girl, that Leddy Eddy testing unit is just too cute. I saw some pictures on the website. I was like, okay, first of all, my kids going to want to get all their fingers poked, because this is just like the hot spot to be.
Yeah, we got prizes. Kids love it, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your Saturday. I appreciate you being on the show.
Course. Have a great day, Shaletta.
All right. And honey, when we come back, that is an amazing teacher who is using comic books to educate our kids. Who is she? I'll tell you all about her next. I tell you what, she is Black Girl Magic, a St. Paul educator who has found the secret to unlocking the superpowers of our kids in the classroom. Her birth certificate says Mercedes Yarbrough, but the kids know her as Miss Mercedes. She creates comics about Black entrepreneurships and so many other topics. And she teaches her students using magic glasses that can help them picture a better world. Oh, I just love everything about this woman. And I don't know why she hasn't been on my show today, but we're going to fix that, because she is here right now. Miss Mercedes is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Miss Mercedes, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, Miss Shaletta, how are you?
Girl, I am so good. And girl, I don't know how this oversight happened. I don't know how you have not been on this show before now, because you are doing some amazing work with re-envisioning education in the classroom using these comic books. How did you come up with this whole concept?
Oh, I appreciate the love. It really just came from working in the public education system. Like, it's so outdated, it's boring, it doesn't work. And I was the behavior intervention specialist. So all the kids that didn't want to be there came to me. And I learned how to teach working at Freedom School for every summer for 8 years as a servant leader intern. And I always loved art, so that was my way of connecting with the kids. And I always had to innovate and make learning fun for them to stay engaged. And I realized, like, I'm your kid's favorite teacher. And that's why I go by the name Ms. Mercedes, a.k.a. your kid's favorite teacher, because I make learning fun. And I always tell people, to me, love means safe. And right now, a lot of our schools aren't safe because no love is being shown. And it's the person who is showing your kids love that is their teacher. And a lot of times, that's the support staff. For me, it was the intervention specialist, the security guard, the cafeteria worker. So it's not necessarily the teacher with the teacher's license that is teaching the kids. And that's one reason why I say your kid's favorite teacher without being an actual licensed teacher.
And, you know, the thing that I love the most is how you have used these comics and come up with these concepts. And the kids are gravitating toward that. When you first brought those comics in, you didn't know how they would receive them.
No. One thing, I pay attention. So I listen. And they always say great leaders listen. And I never see myself as a leader until recently when people started, like, coming to me for guidance. But what I've noticed is the kids, they love graphic novels and anime. So yes. I was like, okay, they don't want to pick up this book to read. So I was like, let me find a way to get them to pick up a book using imagery, but then also giving them the information they need to know.
And, you know, I talk about this all the time with folks who have kids in school. I said, you know, everything in our lives, in our world has changed. You know, banking has changed. The way we work has changed. But we're still using the same model that they used 100 years ago. Sit in this desk, don't move, look at this board, engage with this teacher, answer the questions. You know, and we expect these kids to want to do that every day for however many 100 days they're in class. Really?
8 hours a day.
And you have just come through the door and given these kids something new. Is it like a breath of fresh air for them to be able to engage with you in these comics that you've come up with?
Yes. So I'm glad that you brought up 100 years, because I recently learned that John D. Rockefeller funded the general public education system in 1902. And he made a statement saying, I do not want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. So if you look at the public education system and why it's still failing, it has not innovated. It's not creating thinkers. And we're seeing that today as there's a problem with the education system. Mm-hmm. And I was being a thinker. I brought this. I worked in St. Paul Public Schools. I was like, hey, this is working. Let's use this. And crickets. So that inspired me to leave the education world and try to disrupt it by partnering and doing my own, just leaving and doing my own thing so I can do it my way. Because working in the public education system, it's very systematic, and they don't want things like this because it is inspiring thinkers, which I like to call broken robots, which is linked to my next project.
Okay, and you got to tell us what the next project is, because you know I'm nosy.
So Broken Robots is to inspire this generation and to teach them how to balance the use of technology. Right now we're in a spiritual warfare with the evolution of technology, and it's very dangerous, and our kids are not being taught how to use it properly. And we're seeing the effects of technology, how it's doing everything for us. So it's weakening our mind, because our mind is the most powerful thing in our body. So if we're not using our mind, we're opening the door to, we're seeing a rise in mental illness, depression, anxiety, and I believe it's linked to technology because we're not using our mind enough. I had one of my other comics is called Going Back to Rondo, which is about the Rondo neighborhood, which I'm from. And I had to interview a lot of elders who were 80, 90 plus years old. And I was inspired by them because the stories they shared. They're 90 years old telling me a story about when they were 11 or 10, and they remembered phone numbers, addresses. They remembered everything, and I was just very intrigued. And that's when it clicked to me, like, they grew up in an era with not when technology was not as a necessity as it is today, and it made them very strong-minded. But look at how old they are, too. Like, they're able to age. Our generation is dying younger and is very weak-minded, which is leading to suicides and just mental illness and anxiety. And I believe it's because we're on technology way too much.
Okay, now you got to tell me about an event that's happening today.
Oh, yeah. So because of going back to Rondo, I'm on my way there to the Rondo Library to receive an award through Dr. Artika Tyner's publishing Planting Parenthood or Planting Justice. I'm sorry, but her organization, I just won an award for the Black History for going back to Rondo.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That is so awesome. Dr. Artika Tyner is an amazing woman. And so that is at the Rondo Library today. And folks are going to be getting out there, and there's going to be hundreds of free books for folks. There's a reading. Dr. Tyner is reading Justice Makes a Difference. And there's kids activities. And, you know, so many people are going to be out there. So if you're looking for something fun for your kids to do, it's going to be at the Rondo Library, 560 Rondo Avenue, which is also Concordia Avenue. And interpreters are going to be there in Spanish, Hmong, Somali, and Karen. Congratulations on your award, Miss Lady.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm just happy people are seeing, because I put a lot of time and effort in this project, which is actually a trilogy series. So the second sequel is coming out Rondo Days, which is coming back this summer. So the weekend of Rondo Days, you guys can get the second copy, which is Rondo Days, because this is a timeline. So the first one is from 1848 to 1956, and Rondo Days is going to be 1956 to 1983, which was the first year of the Rondo Day celebration.
Oh, well, congratulations on everything, and thank you so much for being here. Now, listen, y'all don't go anywhere, because my friend Steve Thompson is coming up next. He has got to predict for me what is going to happen in this game with our Timberwolves, the bandwagon. Folks are jumping on, then they jump off, then they jump back on again. There is no room on this bandwagon. There's no room for the real diehard fans, because this thing is getting serious, and we are down to the wire. Steve Thompson. His prediction up next. Ow, that's how we're screaming at the TV trying to watch this Timberwolves series against them Denver Nuggets. My blood pressure medicine. I have put it away, Steve. I didn't need it. We didn't have any problems. We had a pretty good season. I told my doctor, I said, I don't need to take the little purple pill anymore. I'm good. Why am I taking a purple pill again, Steve?
Just because this series has been so unusual, where every game has been a blowout. And that's what makes it. There really hasn't been a nail biter. The Timberwolves went into Denver and blew out the defending champ Nuggets. And the Timberwolves at that point in time had won six games in a row in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They were much better than the Phoenix Suns. And There was a great deal of confidence, and then a funny thing happened. Denver turned the tables and absolutely demolished the Timberwolves in two straight games at Target Center. And I feel bad for the people that spent the big money to go to those games and were all excited, because they were over early. I mean, there was no drama whatsoever in any of those games. And then the series shifted back to Denver, and the Nuggets won very comfortably again at home. So they're up 3-2. And then the Timberwolves, whatever cliche you want to use, backs against the wall, do or die, etc., they responded and beat the Denver Nuggets by 45 points at home. Another absolute blowout in this series. So now we go to Game 7. And I don't think anybody has any idea what's going to happen. Maybe we will get a good game, and maybe we will get a nail biter that goes down to the final minute. But I just don't know. It has just been very unusual in the fact that every game, all six games, have been blowouts for one team or the other.
How is that? I mean, they've played a series of games, Steve, so that means that they ought to know each other. They ought to know who they need to watch out for. You know, the patterns and that kind of thing, schemes and looking at film and tape. Sure. And, you know, and it seems like it wouldn't be so back and forth like that with these blowouts. That's the part that's messing me up, that they haven't figured each other out yet in all the games they played.
Yeah, it is very unusual in that respect because there's so many great players in this series. You've got the MVP in Nikola Jokic, and he's the best player in the world. I don't know. At this moment in time, he's the best player in the world. But then you have a superstar, a young superstar in Anthony Edwards, and a lot of other great players in this series. I just think it comes down to, in reality, the hot shooting team. And then the Timberwolves were just great defensively in the first two games, shot the ball very well. And then Denver played beautifully in those two games at Target Center. They looked like the world champs. And I felt like they were the better team again in Game 5. And then the Timberwolves come back and just played the game of the year in that 45-point win. Denver had no chance in that game. But in reality, the Timberwolves had to win to stay alive. And Denver knew, hey, if we don't get it done tonight, we go back home for Game 7. So I think on some psychological level, that's a factor. I still point to one thing. They still have the MVP. And, you know, can the Timberwolves get enough scoring around Anthony Edwards? We know what he can do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is Karl Anthony Towns, is Jaden McDaniels, is Mike Conley, is Rudy Gobert going to step up and help Ant? And it's certainly a big game. I really don't know. And that's what's so great about Game 7. Anything can happen. Timberwolves get hot, play great defensively. They move on. They go to the conference finals. If not, season over. Denver moves on. And then it turns into, how do you assess this Timberwolves season? It was a very good regular season. Third seed in the Western Conference. They blew out the Suns in round one. I would say you'd be happy with the season, but a win tomorrow night in Denver is a big, big deal because then, you know, you got to win four more to get to the finals. And then you get to the finals, you win four more, you're the champ. So it goes without saying, huge game tomorrow night.
All right. I don't know if you want to make a prediction on my show, if you want to save it for your show. I hope they win. But they're away from home. I mean, as many people as I know who are going, who are going to be there, who have gotten tickets, who have taken vacation time, it's nothing like being at home. But then, Steve, when they were at home, they couldn't get it done. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it gets back to that thought. I just have no idea because the games have been such blowouts in favor of either Denver or Minnesota in this series. But Minnesota has confidence there. They played two great games early in this series and caught the champs flat-footed, blew them off their home floor, and then you got to give them credit. They are the champions, and they responded in a big way and really made the Timberwolves look bad at home in games 3 and 4. Then they went home, won game 5. Timberwolves came back and just absolutely demolished them.
Now, were you expecting that? Were you expecting them to win?
I thought the Timberwolves had a good chance to win Game 6 because it was kind of that do-or-die moment, and they were at home, and Denver always had the fallback. If I was going to gamble, and I don't gamble on sports as a rule, if I was going to lay down my own money, I would take Denver. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if the Timberwolves pull the upset and win in a Game 7. If they play like they did in the first two games or like they did in Game 6, if they can bring that intensity and shot-making in that game seven. They can get it done. But remember, they have the best player in the world, and he, you know, give him credit. He's a hell of a player. I mean, it's pretty incredible. The touch he has as a big man, the skill, he can bring it up the floor, he can shoot the three. He's a great playmaker. You know, as a big guy, he's pretty skilled. He's really good.
What are we going to have to do to win? What do we need to do to win?
I think they're going to need they're going to need Cat to have a big game, and then they're going to need another guy to have a big, you know, McDaniels have a big game. We know what Ant's going to do, and Ant's going to come to play and have a big game. But I think you're going to need a lights out performance from a second or a third guy. You're going to get what you're going to get out of the veterans like Gobert and Mike Conley. But it's going to be the key to me is Cat. If Cat has a big night and shows up and plays four quarters and really contributes, Timberwolves have a good chance.
All right. Now, you got to tell me this. How was your wife's Mother's Day? What y'all do? Because we haven't talked. And you always make sure that Michelle is loved and the girls. And, you know, she's such a great mom. I just want to know how y'all spoiled her.
Yeah. Well, what we did is we traveled to visit her mom last weekend. I wasn't around, as you knew. And I was supposed to visit with you, and we were still on the road, and so we visited her mom last weekend, got home Sunday night, and then my daughters took her out today.
Really?
Which was nice. So that was good. But, yeah, it worked out well. So we visited her mom, and that was a good thing.
Okay, now what you got coming up on your show?
Well, we're going to do a lot of sports stuff. Chris Hine covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune. We're going to do that following the news and weather. And then we're going to get you ready for the Twins and the Guardians from Cleveland. Our lineup card begins at 4:30 today, so I have an abbreviated show.
All right. Well, y'all stick around. Steve's coming up next. Love you, Steve. Have a great show.
See ya.
All right. And, hey, I appreciate y'all for hanging out and spending time with your girl. Have an amazing Saturday. Keep Steve on and make sure you stick around to listen to those Twins.